Tonight, John chapter 18, the hour is come. Amen. The hour is come. That is through the way of glory. They're going to lead to salvation. If you ain't got no glorification process in you, don't look for no glory. Talked about that in 17. That our joy might be fulfilled because they are mine. You gave them to me through their own name. I kept them. And because of that, I glorify them. So, three or four points in chapter 18, the betrayal, the arrest, Peter's denial, Christ before Pilate, and his kingdom. So let's begin. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with the disciples over the brook of Cedron. Now, Romans 15:4, and I want to tie that in and give you some scriptures to emphasize the authenticity of the authoritative nature of the word in relationship to Romans 15:4. Whatsoever things are written aforetime are written for our learning, that we do patiently and comfort of the scriptures, that we may have hope. That is that brook of Cintra, someone denoted to be the black brook, or the brook of suffering, that leads to glory, that gives us salvation in relationship to understanding what is the will of God. Well, go to Psalms 110:7. Psalms 110:7 talks about that he may drink of the brook in the way. That is, that brook was between Jerusalem and the Mount of Olives, that it stood between there. And from our study, especially in Matthew 26, we saw Jesus in numerous occasions, in numerous times, that where he went to the Mount of Olives, and there he meditated, and there he prayed with his disciples. So it was a familiar sight, but to get there, you had to travel through what is called, as he says here, the brooks of Cedron. That is, Psalms 110:7 said that he may drink of the brook in the way. But the thing that really got me, that when you go back and look at it in several cases of the Old Testament, of the 39, to bring us into the 27, that is that when you go to 2 Samuel chapter 15 and verse number 23, they said that David went there in his flight from Absalom. He went through the brook of Cedron. That is that through trouble, through trials and tribulation, it was known as the Black Brook in relationship to the tainted water, the color of the water that came from the dirty of the city. And the whole point to be learned is sometimes in life when we have trouble, when we face temptation, when we face trials, we got to go through a brook of Cedron in order to be redeemed through the glorification process of Jesus Christ. Let me give you three more things and we'll move on. Over in 2 Kings 23 and 4, 2 Chronicles 15, 16, and 2 Chronicles 13, 14, we see three good kings of Josiah, Asa, and Hezekiah. They all destroyed idol gods in this brook of Cedron. So we see it in the life of David, we see it in the life of Asa, Josiah, and Hezekiah. It would be a good word to look at and see Jesus here use this phrase again in chapter 18, when he says, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with disciples over the brook of Cedron, going to the Mount of Olives, where was a garden into the which he entered into his disciples, that is, the Garden of Mount of Olives, and there to meditate and pray. Why? Because the hour has come. The hour has come. And I guess when you look at this and understand this thing here, when you look at what Peter said, you're going to suffer as a Christian. That is, that if we're going to suffer, and we're going to suffer, we're going to be tried. You go back to James, and we use this phrase all the time. Go there real quick. James chapter 1, we talk about this all the time in James chapter 1. When he talks about, blessed is the man, see that endure temptation, that go through that brook of Cedron, that go through that dark point in your life, that go through suffering, that go through trial, whether it may be sickness or whatever it may be. See, we're looking to Jesus, who's the author and finisher of our faith, everything going to be all right. For when it's tried, see, when we have been proven by the word of God, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. That is, that because who we are in relationship to that glorification process, because we go through trials and tribulations, Jesus went through the same thing in order to be glorified, that we may have salvation. See, and that's the point and the thing that we need to understand in relationship to understanding what is the will of God. Go with me to Hebrews one more time. I want to share one more scripture with you before we move on. Hebrews chapter 5, because in Hebrews chapter 5, there's a good scripture here too. Hebrews chapter 5, in verse number 8, see, Hebrews 5, 8, is that though he were yet a son, and though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things in which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him, see, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, in whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull to hear. And then he goes on with that principle. He said, for when the time for you ought to be teachers, same that process here. See, if there's no glorification process, number one, there's no salvation. Because the hour has come. See, the hour has come for Luke 19:10 to come to seek and save that which was lost in relationship to understanding what is the will of God. See, and there's many more. I mean, as you study your Bible, just type in that word, you know, Brook of Cedron, and just look at it. And it's significant that it plays in relationship to those who did God's will, sometimes have to go through suffering and tribulation in order for God's will to be done. So it says, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with the disciples of the Brook of Cedron, where was a garden to which he entered into his disciples, and Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place. See, he knew the place because he had been with Jesus numerous times. Because that's where Jesus went to. See, it's like, I go to Terry's house. See, I know where Terry lived because I've been there several times. See, because I'm familiar with it. He knew the place. See, in relationship, because it's being set up in relationship to the betrayer that Judas was going to bring about. But see, it wasn't no place that he didn't know about. And that's what he's saying here. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the play, for Jesus oftentimes resorted thither with his disciples. And Judas then had received a band of men and of officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, come not with lions and torches with weapons. And Jesus therefore, and look at this word here, knowing all things. See, knowing all things, even though he came in flesh, but still he knew all things because he still was the Son of God. See, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? Well, let's bring it home. Well, can we know all things? Sure, we can know all things. From James 1:25, we got the perfect law of liberty. Amen. See, that's the problem a lot of times we face in relationship to really understanding and studying God's word, because simply we just don't know all things. We don't have an understanding of Ephesians 5:17 in order to know, in order to be transformed. See, that is that Jesus knew all things, so when this happened and when they came, even with Judas, see, Judas knew. Because see, he had crossed that, that brook of Cedron many times with Jesus going up to the Mount of Olives. So he knew the situation. It wasn't no surprise to Jesus as what's going to happen, because in the 39 it had already been prophesied that it was going to happen. See, in relationship to understanding what is the will of God. So in verse 4, by that word no, just write 1 John 5:13. Write 1 Corinthians 6:19. See, in relationship, see, to our Christian responsibility and what we should know in relationship to understanding what is the will of God. See, though we even know that Jesus was divine, and still he had that part even though he was in the flesh. See, he still had that power to know, because he still was the Son of God. Because you go back to 1:1, look what it says in 1:1. See, in 1:1, it talks about in the beginning was the Word was God, the Word was God, and same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, without him was not made, anything made that was. But look, 4, in him was life. See, he still was. He still had that divine side. But that key word there, verse 4, that is to know. See, he knew the situation that was going to happen. Why? Because the hour has come. See, and I like that right there. The reason why I like that, because sometimes we don't like to know. Or we don't see the importance of knowing. Or we don't see the urgency of knowing. Or hunger and thirsting to the point to receive and grasp the word to know. See, so the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all what? Good works. See, that's the point. It is that ability, that desire to want to know, that is so that you can be able to know all aspects around us. Amen. See, because a lot of us going to go through that what? A lot of us going to go through that brook. See, a lot of us going, that's just life. See, it makes no difference how strong you may be. It makes no difference how faithful you may be. That's just life. But in going through it, thank God, because we know, see, we because of the life we live, because we are heirs of God and joint heirs of Jesus Christ, that glorification process has taken place, amen. See, that is, that we are disciples of Jesus Christ, and everything going to be all right. So, it said, Jesus, therefore, knowing all things. See, another thing, underline that word, all things. Do you believe that all the different denominations that exist in the world today, all the men that started the different denominations for any reason, for whatever reason they may want to, do you think they know all things? Is that a dumb question? But the point to be made is this here. Well, if Jesus know all things, if Jesus was there from the beginning, why would anyone want to be like somebody who don't know all things? You understand what I'm saying? I mean, why would you want to imitate or be like, or why would you want to be a part of anything other than the real thing? But see, to know that and to appreciate that, you got to know. Because you can't appreciate things until you would know. See, and that's the point. See, of 1 John 5:13, these things are written that you may know. See, based on your belief principle, amen, that is that we're going to look unto Jesus, who's the author and our finisher of our faith. So, because what's getting ready to happen, then it wasn't no surprise to Jesus. Because look at the next verse. It says, he said, whom seek ye? And they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus said unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. And stop right there. Because see, some of the same brethren that call us our friend, that say that they're brother in Christ, will betray you and pretend to be your friend and act like they're your friend, but all the time they're against you. Why do you think, and go there right quick, 2 Corinthians, and this is one of my favorite scriptures right here. Why do you think over in 2 Corinthians 6, and 14. Because even Paul said, among your own self, men shall rise, speaking perverse doctrines to draw disciples after them. And I'm convinced, brethren, that people have motive if they're not guided by spirituality. If you're guided by another force other than the perfect law of liberty, you don't know what's going to come from that force. Amen. See, that's the danger. Even though Jesus knew that one was going to betray him. See, even though Judas had been in the way, even though Judas knew the place where Jesus was, see, it wasn't no surprise when the men came, because he knew the situation. But guess what? Jesus knew too. Amen. A lot of times in life, things happen to us and we are shocked. Because every time we hear people say, I didn't know that brother was that way. I didn't know he was that way. You ever seen people like that? Or made statements like that? Because see, we only know so far. But Jesus knows all things, right? So when you look at 2 Corinthians 6, see, when you see something to be wrong, see, brethren, don't take it lightly. He said, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For our righteousness have righteousness with unrighteousness. And what communion has light with darkness? And what concord of Christ with Belial? Or what part has he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them, and I will walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And look at verse 17. If I know a brother is walking disorderly, why would I allow that brother to be with me when the Bible said, let me go back, and he refused to repent. And you have did everything, Matthew 18, 15, you have did everything possible to get him to repent, but he won't repent. Why in the world do you want him to say he's your friend? Well, he's still my brother. But he's just an Aaron brother. He's still my brother. He's just an Aaron brother. Once you get into the body of Christ, you still be there, but you're just Aaron. He lose all the benefits, right? But he's still a brother, right? It's like, okay, I'll give you an example. You got 10 children, 5 good, 5 what, Aaron. They still your children, right? Now, they might not can't eat Thanksgiving with you, right? Or they might not get no Christmas present. I mean, that's a bad question. You understand what I'm saying? See, you understand what I'm saying? They always will be a part of the family because they're born into the family. You understand? They're just an Aaron brother. Am I right? Fred, you're just messing with me. Let's move on a little further. But look what he said. He said, wherefore come out from among them. Who are them? Them are those who are walking what? Disorderly. And be ye separate, said the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Now, Mark, write Romans 16, 17 by that. Because when you go back to Romans 16, 17, there's many more. The Bible says here in Romans 16, 17 to mark them. Amen. See, Romans 16, 17. Because in Romans 16, 17, he says, now I beseech you, brethren. Talking to us, amen. Faithful brethren, right? Mark then what's called the vision of offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and do what? Avoid them. See, in relationship to understanding what is the will of the Lord. Amen? See, and a lot of times we just don't have that tendency, because sometimes we let friendship rob us of the ability to be able to do God's will. So let's go back to what Jesus said. John 18. Go ahead, bro. Well, that's all right. Mm-hmm. That's it. Yeah. Well, just in our reading in the book of Leviticus and the book of Numbers. I mean, he continued to reiterate that which clean and that which was. See, he continued to reiterate, you know, the sacredness in relationship to the tabernacle. in relationship to how he wants to be dealt with it, who to deal with it. You can't touch it. You can't look upon it. You understand what I'm saying? And he gives explicit instruction in relationship to stand away from that which is unclean. Because, see, to be with that which is unclean, see, eventually it will take away from your glorification process. Amen? Because, see, that's a command. Did you not know that? It's not a choice. Come ye out from among them, be ye separate, said the Lord. It ain't like you say, well, if I want to. See, Romans 16, 17, mark them, which causes offenses that are contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. And the reason why is because it's no reason for you to be in sin. It's no reason for any of us to be in any sin that hadn't been repented for and been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And the reason why I say that, 1 John 1:9, he left the blood, right? So because he left the blood, well, the next process would be to humble yourself and repent. And in doing so, you got to come ye out from among them. Now, if you choose to dwell among them, see, well, that's the penalty. So it's not a choice, you know, in relationship. See, when I make remarks like, well, I'm careful about who my friends are, well, I am. Because I've seen both sides of them. Amen? See, Judas, you have still a lot of Judas in the world today. See, they'll shake your hand, they'll smile in your face, but they'll stab you in your back. Well, number one, well, why would they? Number one, you ain't got to be the fool with them anyway. Not in that type of relationship. See, and that's the point. Go ahead, my brother. Yeah. That's right. That's right. Now. That's right. That's it. That's right. That's right. That's it. But see, if the devil, and the devil know this here, if the devil never give you understanding to distinguish between that which is spiritual and that which is carnal, if he never give you a frame of mind that through the word of God that you can make a decision, this is the way. Because it's in the 66. Amen? See, God was so explicit. It's like the brother who texted me today. He said, in 89 verses, he keeps saying the same thing over and over again. Why is it taking so long? But keep on reading. John said, he repeats how many times? 12 times. 12 times. 12 times he's going to repeat the same thing over and over again. See, and the reason why he does that is because he knew, number one, the hardness of our heart. And until he engrave it, or until it's embellished within our mindset, that we can have the mind of Christ to know. See, the devil still can destroy and manipulate and misuse our mindset because of the deceitfulness of the world. You understand what I'm saying? See, so that's the point that, see, motive, see, you look at look at the church. Leave denominationalism around. What questions? The things that can't be proven, and I'm not going to name them. But if you look at it, James 1:27, for example, Galatians 16, all right? Well, those are individuals' commands, that is, that it's to all Christians to do good to all men, especially those in the house of the faith. That is, that if you see somebody hungry, you ain't got to call the church. Feed him. Amen? James 1:27, to take care of willows. See, take care of orphans. Keep yourself unspotted from the world. See, that's an individual thing. So why would the brethren want to make it collectively to say that's the church's responsibility, when really the Bible says the money that's taken on the first day of the week is for the saints only? Well, that's the point. Are they know, or because of self-will, or the easy way out, that's the most expedient way to get it done. It's easier that way to get it done. Don't rock my boat, just do it this way. But still, it violates the principle of God. And I'm saying that because people just don't understand. Go meet 2 Peter, 1 Peter. That's what I want to look at. You were talking about, sometimes we don't realize, like you said, brother, who we are. And look how Peter describes us in relationship to who we are. He says in verse 1, he says, wherefore, he says, lay aside all malice, guile, hypocrisy, envy, evil speaking. Number 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Now drop down to verse 5 real quick. Then he begins to describe who we are. Amen. Live the stone, build up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Look at verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, holy nation. And that's where I want to stop at. What do that word peculiar mean? We're what? That's the reason why we got to come y'all from what? Because we can't be like what? Y'all got it? You see, we can't be like them. Because see, we are different, we are peculiar, because we are all of the above. But to be able to do that, don't let nobody violate your glorification process. You got to come ye out from among who? Them, and be ye separate, said the Lord. Now, let's go back to Jesus. Now, you say, well, why was Jesus tolerating Judas? Because he knew what Judas was going to do. But do you have that power? I mean, can you discern, can you know what other people are going to do on your job towards you? Amen. I mean, you allow people to come into your home. You understand what I'm saying? Or you allow people to get in your spiritual zone, in your circle. You can't control what they're going to do. As long as somebody, you can control the you through the mindset of the power of the word of God. So number one, because of who we are, why am I going to let some joker you know wrong come and destroy what you got? You understand what I'm saying? But we do. See? And one thing about them, I'm talking about them, they don't know no better. But you know better. Amen? See, how can they know better when they're in darkness? See? Not necessarily. See, at that point, they might not be in a strong delusion. They just might be sinners. See, all sinners ain't strong delusion. Right? See, all sinners ain't strong delusion. A strong delusion is somebody. You know what a strong delusion is? Is a Christian who failed to hear truth, and he keep playing with Jesus to the point that he has sent them a strong delusion to make them believe a lie. Kind of like old Pharaoh. Judas too. Amen. See, that is because as long as you're in the world, you don't know no better. The only thing you have to do is just repent and be baptized to be saved. Am I right? Now, to him who knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him is a what? If we sin willfully after seeing the knowledge of the truth, there remain no more what? See, sometimes we willful sin. See, sometimes we know it's wrong, but we go ahead and do it anyway. Am I right? See, that's the reason why Peter says, better not know than to know than what? See, because when you know and turn, for him to know and don't do it is a sin. If you sin willfully, you keep on playing with it, he'll send you a strong delusion to make you believe a lie. Or you become a reprobate. Am I right? See, and that's the danger. So that strong delusion to stay is that when you read here tonight, and we've been talking about them, like Judas, get them out your life, come ye out from among them, because you don't know like Jesus. See, Jesus knew everything. Amen. Jesus knew what was getting ready to happen before it even happened, because he knew all things. Ain't what it said? But you don't know all things, not in that sense. Because you know what? You can't read my mind, and I can't read your mind. Sometimes people say, well, I know everything about my wife. No, you don't. You don't know no more what she wants you to know. Now, you learn. Don't get me wrong. I'm not gonna dilute that. You understand? The more you twain, and the more you grow, the more you want, you learn more, and you learn more, and you learn more. Amen. But I'm not going to sit in bed at 2 o'clock. Doris, tell me your deepest secrets. What's on your mind? You understand what I'm saying? See, it'd be like the Andy Griffin show that time. Don't say it, Doris. Y'all remember that show when Bonnie was trying to find out where the whiskey still was? You remember that? But old Otis. He was the oldest. Yeah, y'all remember that one? And then he told him, the address he gave was at the courthouse. I believe that was the right one. See, and the point is, because you don't supposed to know that. And you don't need to. But see, you got to be able to identify in order. Because see, if you don't, see, motives can be very dangerous. And that's what that devil is. He's a liar. He's a father liar. And that's what he out to do, to destroy anyway. Go ahead, my brother. Let's go look at it then. 1 Corinthians 5th chapter. All right, let's turn that right quick. That's right. Yeah. But let me, if you don't have them in your Bible, let me give them to you right quick. 2 John 9, Romans 16:17, 1 Corinthians 5, 9-11, Ephesians 5:11, 2 Corinthians 6:14 through the rest of it. Romans 6:21. All right? Just put them somewhere, you know, where you'll know where they are. You know, see, like in 2 Corinthians 3:6, and now we command you, brother, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we withdraw yourself from, see, every brother that walketh disorder. And then over here in 1 Corinthians 5, where Brother Frazier took us to 11, 9-11. He said, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, but with the covetous or extortioners or idolaters, for then must you needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man that's called his brother or be a fornicator, or covetous, or idolater, or a hereller, or drunkard, or extortionist, would search and warn, know not to eat. See, that is not to have company with, because of the danger of the process And this is the key word, losing your glorification process that will cause you to lose salvation. Because when there ain't no glory, there ain't no salvation. Amen. And the only way you're going to be glorified is to be a light bearer, that is, to be heirs of God and joint heirs of Jesus Christ, simply by the life that we live. Amen. And that's the point. Go ahead, brother. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's what it said. That's right. That's it. You know, that's right. Romans 1. I like what he says over in Romans 1, verse 26. He said, for this cause God gave them up in vile affection, for even that women did change the natural use unto that which is against nature. And likewise all the men leaving the natural use of the woman, burnt in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which unseemly, and receiving themselves that recompense of the error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a what? Reprobate mind to do the things which are not convenient. See, oh, that's the danger. See, tie that in, y'all. Will y'all tie that in over to 2 Thessalonians 2? Let's tie that in. Go to 2 Thessalonians 2. Is that where it is? By 2:11, right? Romans 1:24-28. All right. 2 Thessalonians 2:11, right? Romans 1:24-28. And then by Romans 1:24-28, tie that in to back 2 Thessalonians 2:11. Okay. And all those are good, plus many more. Those are just a few of the warnings that we get simply because we fail to know or we fail to understand what Jesus is trying to get us to see here in relationship to the trials and tribulation that we're going to go through. That is, be careful who you say your friend is, other than Jesus. Now, I know he's going to be your friend. Amen. Through thick and thin. Am I right? Now, we brethren, amen, supposed to be friends because we are heirs of God and joint heirs of Jesus Christ. Amen. Am I right? See, if we are part of the 21, can't be friend one with another, Lord, we messed up. We got a problem. Am I right? Am I right? Because, see, based on who we are, it shouldn't be that none of us who call ourselves Christians who have been glorified because we belong to Jesus, that none of us can look up unto in a spiritual sense. Not in the sense of Jesus, but in a spiritual sense. You with me? See, it is that we can be an encourager, edified in relationship because we are brothers and sisters in Christ. Okay? And that point. Go ahead, brother. Oh. Okay? And that's the point that we should know. So let's go back to verse 5. All right? He stood with them. See? Which simply means everybody staying with you in the church, everybody said to your brother, you better be careful. Am I right? See? Am I right? I see sometimes folk play games. Am I right? They do. And you have to be careful. And that's the reason why I hear brothers say, well, I'm going to visit. And I say, where? Where they at? And they tell me, I friend. The reason why I friend, because see, you know a tree by its fruit. You understand what I'm saying? And when I see churches that do things or participate in things that I know are contrary to the doctrine which you're learning, well, the Bible's avoid them, amen. And I'm not going there, amen. And y'all can talk about me and say I'm funny. I am funny. I'm funny with Jesus. And I ain't got much, but I'm going to protect what I got spiritually, amen. And that's the point that we need to understand, okay? So verse 6, as soon then as he had said unto them, I am he. Now, I like this here. Hey, sure. Suppose the Holy Spirit would say they fell forward. Why did they fall backward? See, they fell backward and fell to the ground. Go ahead, Sean. And then that too, the power of God. Amen. I was reading the other day. They say, well, they didn't fall forward because they fall forward, they would have been in an act of humility to praise him. But see, it couldn't have been an act of humility because they were not his. So they fell backwards in a way of outward getting away from who Jesus is in relationship to he being the Son of God. And like Sean said, They knew Jesus for 3 years. That's what he did. He was among them, am I right? He taught. He preached. They probably heard him preach. They've seen him do miracles, am I right? Am I right? Come look at John 20 right quick. Because see, John 20, that's what it says here. See, John 20:30. It says, the men all signed true to Jesus and the present disciples, which are not written in the book, but these are written that they might believe. See, so they may have seen, they may have heard of this Jesus in relationship. See, in relationship. Based on your life, think about this here. Based on the life that we live, sometimes we don't even have to say anything. You know, sometimes people just talk Jesus all the time. See, sometimes we don't have to say nothing, but based on how people see you, you be in the light, you be one who glorify you are the salt. Sometimes when people see you, sometimes people walk up to you and say, what church you go to? You understand what I'm saying? Based on how they see you. See, and like Sean said, see, when you look at it and look at different accounts as to who Jesus was, they knew who Jesus was to the point that when they approached him, asked the question, who are you? He said, I'm Jesus of Nazareth. I am he. See, to the point, the power of God, the process of God, it literally knocked them back. Amen. And that's that same principle, folks. Listen to me. The power of the word of God in Romans 1:16. Sometimes we underestimate the power. See, in relationship to Ephesians 4:30, Ephesians 1:13, the sealing process that takes place by us being in Christ Jesus. See, a lot of time we bring problems on ourselves because we don't utilize the power that is to get the devil off of us. See, the Bible says draw nigh, see, to resist. See, you resist the devil, he will flee from you, amen. But it got to be that power that literally Romans 15:4, and I know we don't have the same power as Jesus, but still it's the power of the word of God, amen. That's still done in the name of Jesus, amen. That literally, when people see us based on, you know what? When people know you and know you are a spiritual person, a lot of things they're not going to even say to you. Now, some folks, they'll come up and curse in front of, Some folk that come up and, hey, you heard this joke? Or some folk that come up to you and begin to tell escapades about what they did. But when you live the life of Jesus, when people see Jesus in you, they're going to respect you. Because you're not a part of what them. They don't see you that way. You see what I mean? And that's the analogy that I get from in relationship. Yeah, these men knew him. See, we talked about he came out of this situation. We talked about this brook of syndrome that he crossed through many times going to the Mount of Olives. And they seen Jesus. They heard Jesus preach. He had been doing it for 3 years. So they knew of him. Amen. To the point that literally when they came up to him, and I'm not going to say it was out of fear. I'm going to say it was out of the power of God. The power of God. Go ahead, bro. Yeah. That's what they did. That's it. That's it right there. Psalm, what, 27? See, that's it right there. But it's in fulfillment of what? The 17, am I right? It's in fulfillment of the prophecy, amen, that is, that all points to Jesus, am I right? And that same analogy of Romans 54 is applicable to us today. Now read that one more time before I go to Sean. Read it one more time. Read that what it says. See that? See, that's the whole point I'm saying. That's the same analogy that applied to us today. See, the wicked people around us, they don't have no hold on us, amen. See, but the whole point that I'm saying, brothering, see, that word again, brother, mold this. See, people mold this. But see, when you let your light shine, when you be what God wants you to be, and come ye out from among them, don't be like them, amen. And let the power work. Hey, they don't have no control over you. See, because James, we talked about submit, right? Draw, resist, to be humble, to be lifted up. Go ahead, Sean. Yeah. That's right. No, that's true. That's true. Because if they believed who Jesus was, they never would have bombed him. And that's the reason why that some accounts say that literally, see, when they came to Jesus, Jesus didn't want to be done in a big city. He didn't want to be dealing with a big crowd because he didn't want that commotion to be brought up because see, he still wanted God's will to be done. Because see, Jesus knew that it was coming for him. Am I right? See, in relationship to Luke 19:10, seeking and saving that which was lost. And that's the point. So you're right. There were unbelief. Well, that's the same thing. Read that again, Psalm 27. See, don't that describe people who don't believe? Read what it said one more time. Uh-huh. Even. And my foe. Yes. Yes. See, that's the whole point. See, anytime you transgress against God's law, you can say you believe, but that's not belief. That's unbelief. Right? See, anytime you violate James 4:27, you don't believe. That's unbelief. Because if you believe, you would do what Jesus tells you to do. Am I right? And in the world, you're going to say, I love Jesus when you disobey him. Right or wrong? See, you can't say that. See, faith is substance of things hoped for. It got to be something there to motivate faith to work. So how can you say? See, those type people, the wicked, the evil, see, those are people of unbelief. Because see, if you believe, you will do what God tells you to do. And then in the world, you're going to tell me that you love the Lord, you say, you know you got Jesus in your heart when you're not doing what God tells you to do. Amen? 12 times, you say it? He reiterates the numbering. Go back and read Leviticus again. You believe he left anything out? Huh? See, I think one of my comments was about, see, in that, I guess the world read it yet, about if a man lay with another man, what the penalty would be. He didn't leave nothing out. Amen. And the reason why he didn't leave nothing out, brethren, because see, to be a friend of God, to be blessed, you can't be with them, you can't be with the unclean and still glorify God. You see, and that's the point. Go ahead. That's right. That's right. They doing those things. That's right. Well, I'll give you an illustration real quick, and then we'll go to you. We're out of time, too. But that's all right. Don't make me too come in. God had to be with Israel for them to receive the blessing of the promise. Right? After Jericho fell, y'all remember that? When he told them not to bother cursing things. What separated them from God? Sin. Same thing. Same concept today. See, if we don't realize who them is, if we don't realize who our adversary, our enemy, whoever it may be, to cause us to lose glorification. That's the same process. That's the reason why it's a repetition. Even when you get into, when you leave Numbers, you're going to get in Deuteronomy. He's going to repeat it again. So repeating the law again, again and again and again. Why? Because we all have what? Sin. See, it's like us today. I teach the Bible. I study the Bible. But I'm still imperfect. I still sin. Amen. See, everybody, I get excited when brethren text me or when brethren call me, because I need y'all help just as much as you need my help. Amen. Don't you think I know everything? I'm on the island by myself, and I can just dictate. Somebody need to dictate back to me too. Amen. Don't y'all believe that? Sure we do. Am I right? See, I hate to be in a position like these people set these preachers up to be in such authoritative, know-it-all, potentate, all that stuff. I don't want to be that. That's a bad situation to be in, amen? But it wasn't meant to be that way. Go ahead, Terry. Sure did. Yeah. That's it. That's it. That's it. Well, see, Paul Paul mentioned that, see? When I depart, what? Speaking perverse to do what? See, change has always been here from the days of Adam and Eve. Read Genesis 3. Am I right? See, y'all see the conversation that she had with the devil? You understand what I'm saying? In the every case, when you look at sin in Genesis 4, Genesis 6, but you just watch sin in every case, it always has something to do with self-will. See, they knew truth, but they did not obey truth, and they changed truth to a lie, but that lie was always a lie to appease self-gratification. Right or wrong? See, and that's the same thing in the church. See, I go back. See, when you read Numbers, when God told Moses and Aaron, did he say, I want the whole congregation? He said, assemble the whole congregation. Am I right? Now, did that whole congregation consist of 603,550 people? Plus the Levites? Well, you know, he separated them from the rest, right? Am I right? But he said, now, the numbering is 603,550. Now, he said, now, I want you to separate them because they're going to keep the tabernacle. And that's what he said. But then he said, now, I want to assemble the whole. Now, most folks say that's too many to assemble at one time, so we'll do it in phases. But that ain't what God said, did he? See, the point I'm saying, and that's what you're saying, brother, and that's the danger of them. Y'all understand what I'm saying? See, don't allow. See, even with your children, you know, when my children were growing up, they used to say, well, Daddy, can I go to church with my friend? No. They ask me that all the time. You know, they come with me. I say, well, that's good. They're supposed to come with you. This is the church. You understand what I'm saying? Because, see, you didn't never want them to be confused or to see something. I know they're going to learn something, but I wasn't going to give them that opportunity to play with sin. You understand what I'm saying? Last comment, brother. Then we're going to be Sunday morning almost. Oh, okay, you too, John. Come on. Yeah. That's right. That's right. Because see, our action is based on the word, right? See, Peter did that because he wasn't in the word. You understand what I'm saying? See, he let the human side interact when it should have been a human side, it should have been a spiritual side. Am I right? See, he didn't know that. See, he angered. Now we're getting ahead because next week we're just going to 19. Okay? But I'm just joking. But you understand what I'm saying? I'm glad you brought that up. That's what we're talking about. Go ahead, John. Yes. Well, come in, no, John, because we got what around us? Got them. That's right. That's it. That's it. Yeah. That's right. See. Yeah, but see, that's the reason why he said, come ye out from what? Be ye separate, right? He said, withdraw yourself, am I right? See, don't eat with them, am I right? So I can go on. See, that seal of protection is around us through knowledge, am I right? So that's the reason why you don't let nobody enter within your spirituality. Now, you can go within them to get them saved, but they don't come into me. You with me? See, y'all with me? See, go back to what you're saying, Sean. See, that's the reason why. See, Peter had been with him for 3 years. You understand? But Peter had some characteristics about him, didn't he? You understand what I'm saying? But see, that's life. See? And that's what you're seeing. And that's what very few people, and I'm telling you in conclusion, if you look at the churches in Birmingham, and I know every man must bear his own burden, but see, go back to what you said, Terry. See, preaching is not being preached today. See, back then, men were unlearned, wasn't they? You had men, but boy, they preached the gospel, didn't they? Boy, they stuck with the word, didn't they? They didn't fear. Well, see, we're running the church not in a spiritual way, but running a carnal way. Because it's all about money. See, you look at these mega churches. You look at these churches, you know, it's all about money, man. They want that money. Preachers want to make big money. Am I right? But see, it's not about a spiritual sense. See, and I don't want to be a part of something that's what can the church give me. The only thing I want the church to give me is a spiritual haven. I want to be around spiritual people. Amen. And we don't have no charge, brother. If our lives walk disorderly, if he don't repent, he needs to be withdrawn from it. Amen. Am I right? Because if you don't, you're going to be just like Achan. See, you're going to be unclean. And you know what God do with unclean people. Levitical, boy, he got rid of the animal, didn't he? Ain't that something? Oh, man. that brother said, Brother Lyle, it's 89 verses. He keeps saying the same thing over and over again. And they keep on reading. They're going to say it again over and over and over again. Cut that off, bro. Yeah, I'll tell him, I got to go back and read number 7 tonight.